So I remember the days of me answering all the calls, returning all the emails, seeing everybody, being the admin and the practitioner. And when you're in practice by yourself, that's all you got, just yourself, right? As you're growing and you're scaling to bring other people on. And one thing that I always found so challenging was rescheduling people. And it starts to add up the more people that you have. So one thing that has saved us a ton of time recently and really increased our conversion percentages online to new patients is making the switch over to PT Everywhere for my local practice, Athletes Potential. We actually saw our new patients that were booking online numbers double in the time that we've actually implemented utilizing their platform. And the reason why, it's so much easier to book online. Many times people have to create accounts and it's difficult for them to actually save an appointment. And as we switched over, what we saw was these numbers jumped for us and we got more people online, which saved our administrative resources. It allowed them to pick a time that worked for them. And overall, it's been a very seamless transition. So if you're looking to leverage a platform to help get some of your time back, I would recommend PT Everywhere. It'll save you a ton of time on the admin side and help get more people in the door. Head over to PTEverywhere.com and check out their platform and how it can help you. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. All right, we're live. What's up, guys? Danny Matei here with Eve Gigi in the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. Today, we're going to answer one of the most common questions that we get and kind of give you some pros and cons to multiple ways to get a cash practice going. And that question is, should I start a practice inside a gym? Now, we're inherently biased on this one. There's no doubt about that. But we have a lot of experience with this, as well as with different variations of how people get started and the different options that you have, some of them being in a gym, a concierge approach where you're mobile and going to people's houses, starting with a standalone space and going that route. Like, people can do a mixture of these, pick one or transfer one to the other relatively quickly. So we're going to kind of talk about the gym model, what we see with that, and pros and cons with that, as well as some of these other ones where, when you're getting started, what's a good option for you, and some things to be on the lookout for if you decide to go one of these directions or not. But both of us started practices in gyms. What was the name of the CrossFit gym you started yours in?
CrossFit Discovery. So my wife long ago dragged me into a CrossFit gym. He's like, you're going to love doing this. And absolutely got crushed in a CrossFit workout and really enjoyed it. And then I was running an insurance-based practice. And the people that I encountered in CrossFit, the things that I learned, it opened my eyes to so many things. And then, fast forward 2 years later, bam, great relationship with the owner, did a little bit of coaching and was able to just do really well in that space. Yeah. So very, very biased. What's up, Ryan? Good to have you. Ryan just joined us. He said, what's up, Danny? What's up,
Ian? All right. What's up, Ryan? I agree. CrossFit gyms are a great place to start. It's funny. I think anybody that's done CrossFit typically remembers their first like workout because it's usually terrible. Right. And what's nice about CrossFit is that there's a big community element to it within facilities. For me, it was rampant in the military. Many military bases have their own nonprofit affiliates, actually. And I actually got exposed to CrossFit while I was at the Center for the Intrepid. This is actually not a affiliate. This is a place where they do amputee rehab. So it's a huge biomechanics lab in San Antonio where they do amputee rehab for, people primarily lower extremity, definitely upper extremity, but there's not as much as they can do there as they can lower extremity. But it's essentially like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory for rehab. Like, it's insane. They have anything you could possibly imagine. They even have like one of those wave machines, like they have on cruise ships, where it shoots out like a thin, piece of water that you can essentially surf on. So it looks like it's like a boogie board kind of surfing thing, and they use it for balance training. And really, we just use it because it was fun, and they would get on there and have a good time. But it was awesome, and I had these two guys that would train together because they had a huge gym in there. And I did my research there and I showed up one day a little early and I see these two guys below the knee amputees and they're doing like box jumps and all kinds of shit and doing like muscle ups on rings. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, CrossFit, like come in tomorrow morning before you work, you can train with us, you know, get a little workout in. And I still remember they were like box jumps, push presses and burpees. And mind you, they're missing a leg, both of them. And they absolutely annihilated me, like killed me. And I threw up in a trash can. And I was like, what the hell is this call? It's like, cause I thought I was in decent shape. And that sort of like a completely different training methodology. Right. So, you know, for me, like my indoctrination is like via the military, but then like finding communities of like when we moved across the gym is a great place to like have, you know, built-in community with people with common interests. So I think when we look at like, when you start to look at building your practice, if you have a pre-existing relationship and community within the CrossFit space, it's a great place to start because you already have people that kind of know, like, and trust you, which is one of the hardest things to develop. Where we see people go wrong is people that don't do CrossFit. And I don't even do CrossFit anymore per se. Like there's elements of it that I train in my garage. I do a lot of variants of things, but I'm not necessarily doing Fran anymore. And nor will I probably ever, I probably won't, you know, for what my goals are, that's not in the cards. I don't really care to do that as fast as I possibly can. The thing with your gym location though, is if you already have that community, it's awesome. Where people get into trouble is when they like, don't actually train and then they go to a gym and then they approach them about subleasing a space. And it's obvious whether you are like in that community or not, by the way you talk and the verbiage you use and the shoes you wear. And it's like a little cult. And, you know, so that can be where people run into some challenges. You know, both of us, that was a natural fit, but it doesn't have to be a CrossFit gym. I think this is a misconception. People are like, oh, I've got to find a CrossFit gym. No, I think you can find any number of different gyms. I mean, name like just a handful of different locations where we have people that have, offices within different facilities like that.
Yeah. I mean, we have yoga studios. We have these new group fitness gyms, whether like F45s, Orange Theories, or variants of. And honestly, the hot new shit in town right now, and it's like what I recommend, kind of not more so, but on equal footing, is now these personal training gyms. These like one-on-one personal training gyms. And then also what's still like is a dream of ours is a sports performance kind of facility, right? Where they just have youth athletes and group training and also one-on-one stuff and sports specific, right? So like now it's definitely a plethora of stuff that, you can find your community, like you said, you can find your group of people, set up shop in there and just, you know, have some fun.
Well, I think what you named a few of these places are natural fits based on sort of your niche. So this is actually probably, when I look at this stuff, I look at more of, Well, who's your niche? So first of all, we have to dial that in. So if your niche is CrossFitters, then a CrossFit gym makes a lot of sense. If your niche is like a slightly older population that wants to stay active, CrossFit gym is not a great spot in comparison to like a personal training facility where people are going to be, you know, it's a higher ticket service, a little bit older. They expect a little bit more individualization of treatment, a little bit nicer facility, maybe smaller. That's the only thing we see is sort of hard to get around in places like that sometimes, but definitely more boutique sort of style facility tends to do really well with people that are working with more of like an active aging population in particular. And then, you know, you look at something like, the youth sports niche. So if you are really big into like ACL rehab, youth sport training, and you find a sports performance facility, you know, indoor turf, and they're running group classes of athletes through there and all that stuff. Like we have a handful of people in our mastermind that fall well within that, you know, sports performance, youth sport, especially post-op sort of especially ACLs. So they're such a long drawn out process. And oftentimes people don't do the sort of like return to sports side via covered with insurance, that it can be a great niche if you're really interested in that. So like, that's a great example of maybe why a sports performance facility fits better for you with that niche than if you're really more interested in like 40 to 60 year old, you know, people trying to get back to playing tennis. That wouldn't necessarily be the sports performance facility as much as like small group personal training or one-on-one personal training facility. So try to match up whatever your niche is with the more appropriate facility where your people are going to congregate.
Yeah. You know, and there's, we have so many more examples too. Like as you're talking, it's like, we have somebody who's in a gymnastics facility, another right. phenomenal niche with a bunch of people, or a country club, right? Like yep. if golf's your niche, all of a sudden you're in a country club, or they don't have them here in Charleston because weather's nice, but they have these like indoor facilities where they have swing coaches and, you know, you can hit balls inside. Like that's another thing. Somebody. So it's like, yeah, I mean, it's not just a gym where people are lifting weights, right? It's like, it's anything where people are trying to be active or doing a sport, right? If you can yeah. find a space within there, you just have these bolus of people that you can capture right away. And yeah. you know, as you said, they can know, like, and trust, you can accelerate that process, you know, much more than if you were, yeah, in a standalone location or if you were mobile.
Even retail, like we've seen, runners that put that are able to sublease a space in like a running shoe store.
We had a licensee in one of those. Yeah. That first step
there. Yep. And as well as cyclists, in like bike shops, maybe they're doing bike fittings as well. And they're seeing clients like that. It's all about, where do your people congregate? I mean, this is really just in a nutshell, local business marketing and digital marketing. Marketing all has to do with who's your target audience. Number one, you have to know your niche. Like, this is where we get so, you know, we're so strict about understanding who your target audience is in a very detailed way. And the reason why we want that is because we need to know where you need to be spending your time, both in congregation points in person as well as digitally. And like, let's say you're a cyclist, okay? Bike shops, cycling clubs, you know, online forums for cyclists, like going to races, race sponsors, any of these things, you know, like these are where you're going to want to be and be a part of a community so that you can build your presence with the population that you want. So that's really key. I think you have to keep that in mind. But once you've dialed that in and you've found a space, and let me backtrack for a second. Don't be surprised if you don't find the space that you think is like the perfect fit at first. Like, it's pretty unlikely. It does happen, but more often than not, I think what you're going to see is you're going to have to like kind of look at a bunch of different spaces. Some probably have a practitioner in it already. Some aren't looking for somebody. Some are a terrible fit on the business owner side. Like, they just seem sketchy, you know, and they don't value your time or your expertise. So, you know, we get this a lot, like in our Rainmaker program, where this is one of the harder steps where people are like, well, I'm trying to find a space, and this is what this looks like, and this is what this looks like, this is this sublease. And more often than not, we're like, well, how do you feel about the owner? Does he seem, or he or she seem like legit, like trustworthy? Like, they actually care about you more so than just offsetting their overhead. And it can be challenging, right? Because you get turned down and you have to find the right choice. But I, you know, you didn't stay in the place you were at forever. I went to two locations before we moved to the standalone office that we have. So I think more than anything, you just have to get started sometimes. So if you're on the fence, man, just like get going and then make it a short-term thing and have the expectation that you'll probably grow out of it and move on to something else.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely see it a lot. I'm going to say all the time, right? If I put a number on it, it'd be like 40% of people, you know, go to a space, it ends up not being a long-term fit. And they usually can transition to a new space a little bit better. What I've noticed, and it's kind of to what you said, the relationship with the owner and the community, and honestly, the feeling of the space itself, like literally the feeling that the practitioner has about their space is directly correlated with their success level, which is really interesting. When I see people, they just say this, you have this language where I'm like, I'm not really sure. I have difficulty setting a workshop. I can't talk to the other trainers and coaches. I kind of usually see it coming and I start kind of nudging them away. It's like, well, is this a good long-term fit? Right. And then as soon as they switch, it's like, boom, oh, I found the right people. Personal trainers love me. I talk to the owner all the time. We've set up a workshop. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. Cause we talk about this all the time. The momentum matters, right? Like, your mindset and your feeling about this space, I think truly matters.
Oh, 100%. Because, you know, it's how you feel about what's happening is going to be reflected in your tone of your voice, your body language, your willingness to go and do other things. You know, early on, your confidence is really easily, you know, shaken, and it needs to be protected, which is one of the reasons why we're so big on the mental side of you know, staying clear on why you're doing this. It's very easy to stop or very easy to get frustrated and then blame other people for things or these, you know, unfortunate events that might happen that are completely, you know, random or whatever. And you're just like, oh, well, I guess I need to go back and go to do whatever or something like that, because you're not clear on why you're actually doing what you're doing. And we see people get really clear on that to begin with, you know, and if you're not sure what we mean by that, like go back and watch the last video we did on, you know, imposter syndrome and dealing with that, that will help, because you're right. I do think that oftentimes when people move, especially to a newer location, newer city, basically, you don't really know anybody there. So how do you know? It's unlikely that the first place you go is going to be the perfect fit because you technically don't really know anybody that well. And then they don't really know you that well. So, but after a year of you being able to be involved in different parts of the city and different communities, you start to build relationships and meet people. And then you have these warm introductions and your network expands. And really early on, the key is, you know, you have to invest in your skill sets and your network. Like those are the two big things. And usually network, that might be a networking group, you know, maybe something like a mastermind like we run, which is more for like meeting people all around the country that are in similar space. It could be a local group, like a BNI group. It could be just like going to, you know, chamber of commerce stuff or whatever, or just going to just like a local gym, like you're building your network. But then skill sets is the other one, right? So we got to learn how to sell and market. We have to gain really strong resiliency mentally. And then from there, like it's just about chipping away, doing the right things over an extended period of time. And eventually it works out if you don't give up. All right. So the key to really look at this early on is that don't think you're just going to have this magical space where everybody's going to refer everybody to you that your way. And they're going to think you're like the greatest thing ever. And they're not going to disagree with you on anything, or they're not going to try to raise your rent without telling you why they are doing it or any explanation. Like that's probably going to happen. So, you know, make sure that you're building these skill sets and networks so that you can then pivot to a place that is more appropriate for you, because it's probably going to have to happen in most cases.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we see conservatively, you know, I don't want people to live and die by their current space, right? So like the cool part is we have numbers behind this, right? So it's like anywhere from 10 to 20% of your schedule can be filled, right? Sometimes lower, sometimes a lot higher, but I would say on average is kind of what we see, right? And so, you know, just realizing kind of those numbers, because a lot of people go in there and expect like literally, oh man, I'm just going to set up shop and like, I'm going to live and die. And like that, I'm not going to say never is always a difficult word, but pretty sure like it's a good start, like for initial proof of concept. But after that, you're going to do exactly what you have. You're going to have to do exactly what you said, which is invest in your skill sets and invest in your network, right? And it goes beyond just sitting down in your facility, locking your door and hoping people walk by and walk in.
Oh, you'll just sit in the room by yourself. Look here, I'll give you a perfect example of why your network is important. So for me, about a year into us having our office, the first gym that I was at, the gym owner is a little bit crazy, like legitimately, not a little bit, legit crazy. Okay. Yes. Like I'll give you a really good example. So basically, huge space, like great looking CrossFit gym. I had this little office in the corner, where they had like a little waiting room space. And, one day is when I had evening patients, I'm finishing up my patients. I walk out to the parking lot with my last patient and there's like 10 cop cars in the parking lot. Right. So I'm like, oh shit. I was like, I thought maybe the gym owner's selling drugs. Like that's the first thing I thought. Like, that's like, oh, he's probably selling drugs. He got caught. He wasn't selling drugs. He just completely ignored the city warnings that he didn't have a certificate of occupancy whenever he built out the space. And what happened was it was technically two spaces. They built or one space and they built a wall down the middle. But when they did, they didn't add sprinklers and or a fire resistant wall. So they didn't get their CO, their certificate of occupancy. So technically you can't open if you don't have a certificate of occupancy, meaning people can't be in the building. For over a year, he'd had it open and was continually ignoring the city that was fining him and was telling him that he had to do this or they were going to shut him down. So finally, one day they had enough. They sent 10 cops there and they cleared the entire space out. They kicked like 40 people out of the, you know, 6-7 PM classes out of the building, shut it down, like literally close it off. And this was on a Friday. I had a full week of patience the next week. Right. So I'm scrambling. I'm like, holy shit, what are we going to do? I don't want to have to reschedule. I can't get in my office. So luckily we'd been teaching a bunch of workshops and I knew, you know, a decent number of CrossFit gym owners at that time. And there was another gym that was maybe like less than a mile from there. So I call the owner, tell him what's going on. And he's like, for sure. He's like, you can see people in my space. Just tell them where you're at. Like, I've got an office for you. Like, you can use my office. And then, you know, I was there for like a week and a half and then went back over to the other office. He didn't charge me rent, nothing. It was like such a great connection that I didn't know I needed until I needed it at the last minute. You know, so like the idea of this, you trying to do everything on your own and not like being this lone wolf is a bad idea. Like building your network is really, really important, because what if you have a gym owner that doesn't have a certificate of occupancy and the gym gets shut down, right? Like that might happen to me. And then you need to have these other people lined up so that you know what you might be able to do. So sort of always like this sort of plan A, plan B, plan C thing. But the network is what keeps you alive. And we're seeing it now with COVID too. Like your network of people is what's either going to make or break you in many cases for the local service business.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably another cautionary tale of don't sign these probably long-term leases with these people either. Right. Like there's got to be a way to get out of those things, especially early on. And like I said, vet your owners, but at the same time, don't let it stop you from actually just getting a space and starting working, because you can still have a successful practice. Obviously, with having an absolute crazy owner that doesn't pay, you know, his bills and decides to, you know, piss the city off. So it can still work, people.
It's unbelievable. Now that I went through a build out and I was like, dude, unbelievable that you did that, because that's a sketchy thing to do. I mean, he's lucky he didn't end up in bigger trouble than just like the fine that he got. But yeah, I mean, this is just part of it. Like you don't know who you're dealing with in some cases. And for me, I moved somewhere new and I was like, hey, and I asked my mentor, Kelly, I was like, where do you know anybody here? He's like, yeah, I know a couple people, but just find like a big space where you can get, you know, office space, you know? And so I asked some other people, I looked some places up. I was like, this place is big. It's got an office. Cool. But the gym owner is the linchpin, you know? So we didn't stay there in many respects because of that person. So, you know, for people that are getting into this, let's talk about the pros and cons of this. Cause I do think that there's other options, right? In particular, one more popular ones is concierge or mobile, which actually right now maybe isn't even a little bit more popular because people can be seen in their backyard. Like we work with people that are kind of doing this right now. They're seeing them in their backyards or seeing them in their garage. They're seeing them wherever, if people just don't feel comfortable going somewhere or being seen in their house. So let's talk about the pros and cons though. So I'd love to hear what you think about the difference between, you know, a small sublease space versus, you know, driving around and being more on the mobile side.
Yeah. I mean, easily, you know, we talked about all the pros for the gyms, right? Just having a bolus of people, having actual physical space. Cons being, right, like you've got to deal with gym owners. You can't really control your environment too well. Your overhead can be low, but sometimes it can't be, right? And sometimes there's not a, can't keep it low. You've got to pay rent, right? The things that I love about mobile is that your overhead is extremely low. Right? Like super low. Two, if you're mobile, you can just provide something that has inherent value like right away, right? So like from what I've seen, some of those conversations for cash pay, right, is a little bit easier because it's a concierge service. So be like, of course I've got to pay cash for this. You're coming to my home site. So sometimes those transitions kind of can be easier. I do think the cons of mobile are just you don't have a physical space, right? For me, there's something about having a physical space. This is my home. This is where I am that I love. And then the number one, and this is definitely the number one reason we see people end up opting out or transitioning out, is sheer travel time.
Time.
The time it takes to travel back and forth and some of the uncertainty around that can absolutely crush you, even if you're charging kind of a premium. You know what I mean? Like you can easily double. It's called the average 150. You know, it's probably should be around 300 for concierge.
But rarely people are doing it. Like other people, exactly. This is what we think, but the reality is most people that are starting this way are charging the exact same amount that they could get if somebody came to them because they don't know how to sell, right? So like I see people constantly that are in the concierge model that don't change what they're charging at all whenever they switch to like somebody coming to them. And it's literally because they don't feel comfortable selling at $300 a visit.
Yeah. Double it. Whatever you're charging, double it if you're concierge right now. You know, because it has to be worth your time, right? Because it'll take you 2 hours conservatively, you know, to get there, get your stuff set up, come like, you know, and just depending, especially where you live, if you're in some of these kind of high traffic areas, it can be even more difficult. Or if it's, you know, there's not a lot of people in here, you have to travel kind of far to get one side of your town to the other. Obviously, that can be a huge potential downside. I mean, and the last one I want to say is just like for me, I did a little bit of this, not a ton. I did charge double whenever I did it, and I always had a space. But it was for me, it was like equipment too, right? And so, like again, I'm biased. There's probably a barbell and heavy weights in most of my rehab processes, right? And you can bring a kettlebell and you can do some stuff, but that's also challenging, just equipment, you know, but it depends on your demographic. We see a lot of these people doing home health stuff. It's typically kind of older demographic and you can get a lot done, you know, if some people are a little bit more deconditioned, they're not a CrossFit athlete, you know what I mean? Right. Like you see in the home.
So, and I think it all comes down to your numbers and like what is important to you. So, you know, we've done time studies with multiple mobile-based practice owners that are fairly busy. You know, and on average, we'll see somewhere between 12 to 15 hours a week that they're spending in their car. Now, the other thing that is challenging is, like Eve said, you might be in a place where there's a lot of traffic, which has its own problems, where you're basically trying to batch where you're in certain locations. But what if you are stuck trying to get somewhere, you're trying to make it to where you're, you know, condensing your time. You're not have a bunch of time between, and now all of a sudden you're late. And then now you're going to be late to the next one or wherever. Or let's say you're in more of a sprawling city like Atlanta. I've seen this in Nashville, Atlanta, you know, Texas, like Dallas and Houston, where they're not traditional, like dense cities as much as they are. Like they basically have grown out more than up. With that, the challenge is people don't live that close to each other, right? So, you know, we've seen the max in some cases when people can actually see folks, or the max number would be like 3 to 4 in a day. So, you know, okay, if you're charging double, that would equate to a pretty good day. If you can sell at $300 a session. But what if you could sell at $300 a session and people came to you, you know? So if you got 14 hours of your week back, that's 2 days of work basically that you've just reclaimed, and you don't have to go anywhere. It's your space. You have your own equipment. You know, you don't have to worry about hitting traffic everywhere you go. You just got to worry about them hitting traffic, coming to see you. You know, there's a lot of variables where you can control your experience significantly more. So your trading off is, you know, the convenience for that person for the convenience for yourself. And we see this over and over again when people get to a point where they're at, it's probably somewhere in the range of like 12 sessions a week, where all of a sudden they're like, I don't know how I could add more than this. You know, unless they're in a, like we worked with somebody in the Chicago area that just worked in the downtown, like inner loop area, and was going to mainly like apartment complexes, like high rises and office buildings. They were next to each other. So a lot of people in a small, you know, space, he could walk in between these. So could see a lot of people in a day and still charge a premium. That's probably the best example of like where this works well. But if you're trying to like gain some of your time back, it's tough because you're trading out 2 days worth of work to sit in your car to go to other people. What if you could just get them to come to you and then get that time back? Because I mean, I know for me, that's the most valuable thing that I look at now. It's like, how can I just get more time, more flexibility, and me driving places versus somebody coming to me? I'm just not willing to make that trade-off, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, who is sometimes, in our opinion, right, we're going to be biased, who's like it a good fit for, right? So like we see it a lot in people just getting started. Like they're just ready to get started. And they can't find a space. Like, right. Great. Like start seeing people right now. Totally viable option. I love it. Start getting to know, like, and trust people, developing relationships, although realize that it's going to be hard to reset that, you know, recalibrate and be like, oh, guess what? You got to come to me now. Although we've done it now successfully with multiple practices. I do think it's very viable in these kind of bigger cities, right? Yeah. Because they're going to pay that premium, right? People don't want to drive, right? So they'll totally come to you, right? And there's, you know, we've seen a couple people scale that way, you know, basically get 1099 contractors. They've got three or four really good relationship with these concierge docs. They have a good influx of patients and they just need to fulfill. And it's, you know, it was, it's a great fit for them, right? Yep. So I think that's huge. And then also there are some of these people, I think, in our practices who just kind of want to dip their toe in the water. Maybe they literally just want to see four or five people. You know, they like the demographic who probably doesn't want to come out to a gym or something like that. They want to see four or five people a week. Like, cool. That could be a good fit for you. You enjoy the driving aspect. Maybe that's not me, but might be you, you know. But if you're trying to typically grow and scale, unless it's this kind of whole 1099 home health kind of model, you know, you'll probably end up going to transition to a gym.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get the idea of, I think if you're coming from, you know, a traditional practice where you're seeing high volume, you're stuck in the same facility, seeing people you don't want to see with equipment you don't want to use over and over again. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like the ball and chain is off and you get to like be out of the office. I see the appeal to that for sure. But, you know, when we look at the nuts and bolts of being able to generate enough income in a business to be able to support yourself and potentially multiple employees, you know, to where you can not necessarily be the person doing everything forever. It's challenging because the only place we've really seen it aside from like, there's definitely some examples, but the vast majority of them are in major cities with lots of population density where people have very high levels of disposable income that are willing to pay a premium. I mean, we know people in like the New York City area, if they're going to go do a home visit, it's $400 or $500 a visit, you know? And, but like you try to do that in Orlando, it's not going to happen. Like you're not, that's just not the same amount of money you can charge there. For most people, it's not as many people that are willing to part with that kind of money for a PT visit, you know, and that's just cost of living difference. Right. So, I think there's pros and cons. The big one that I've seen, and I would say that is beneficial from the gym is you have a area with foot traffic, right? So I always use the reference of like a Chick-fil-A in a mall. Like,
you can't use that reference anymore. There are no more malls, Dan. It's done.
There's a mall. I didn't go to a mall, but Chick-fil-A in an airport, does that work? I guess
that works. I like that. Yeah.
Seriously, have you ever seen a Chick-fil-A in an airport? I mean, if you come to the Atlanta airport, there's one Chick-fil-A. I think it's an A terminal, and there's a shitload of other stuff in there. And this Chick-fil-A is packed. Like it's nothing is even close to it. And, you know, part of it is because people are walking by it, right? And it's a great, it's people like it regardless, but just right there, it's foot traffic. So when you have an office space in a gym, if that's your target audience, you have visibility. You know, you have the ability to then connect with the coaches that are there, the owners, you get to be part of the community. And the hardest part, in my opinion, early on, is getting the first like 50 new patients. I think there's a tipping point after the first 50 new patients that you see, or if you do a really good job, you get a lot of just honestly word of mouth referrals from people that you've worked with, for friends and family members, which is really starts to snowball once you hit that 50 mark. But if you're drumming up business, driving around to people's houses, you don't have that same place to have like congregation points with people and get reps in with them to build relationships. The marketing side, I think, is harder early on. You can do the same thing on the word of mouth side and you can do digital marketing, but it's not like you have a couple hundred people flowing through each day that are going to see you. And that's a huge advantage.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know, right? Like by far the number one problem that we're typically seeing and dealing with, at least the one that's more superficial and apparent, is like, how do I get new patients, right? And like, you can solve that problem by saying, hey, here are hundreds, right? Or however many are in your gym, could be possibly less, right? Of people that probably need your service or in your niche, like you just can't pay enough money for that, right?
So yeah.
It's easy because marketing's hard, brand awareness is hard, like all that stuff, it's very hard, right? There's people that pay millions of dollars to solve that problem. So like, it's like you said, it's the easiest way to get those. I love that. The first 50 people in the door. And, you know, the thing I want to circle back to, I just kind of remember this. A lot of people that I talk to, they start mobile because they think it's the cheapest route because like there's no overhead. And I'll tell you right now, I've negotiated either directly or indirectly, like 10, 20 leases. I mean, not a ton, right, in CrossFit gyms, but enough to get a sample size. And almost always you can get like rent under $400, if not for free in the beginning, because you have that value there. So if you're doing it for that reason, I'd love for you to rethink and go try and see what kind of rent you can negotiate and then see if you can do that first. And then it can be the fallback. Say you go everywhere and they're like, man, I want 20% of your profit and $1,000 a month. Okay, cool, I get it. But go out there and check it out first before you jump in to the mobile thing, if that's your reasoning behind it.
Yeah, yeah. And also, look, the reality is you've directly negotiated that many. I probably have done the exact same amount, but indirectly with the people that we work with, we review subleases every single month. Like we've seen everything, and there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. So if you're looking at this stuff and you don't want to make a mistake, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars down the line, like get the actual help that you need, because it does make a big difference. And to Eve's point, I totally agree. You know, we see sublease rooms for, you know, hundreds of dollars, low hundreds range. I mean, we've seen them as high as like a couple thousand, right? Like I've seen them as high as maybe $3,000, but when we start looking at it and it's like, okay, so this gym is feeding you 60% of your new patients every single month. You don't have to pay for marketing. It's like, that is a good trade-off. You're basically paying to be in a place where they want you to be successful, like a couple grand. It just depends on what you're looking at. So yeah, early on it can be, it can be like negotiated wherever you want. I didn't pay rent for, I think it was like 3 or 4 months. And then after that I had rent. And, so there's different ways to go about it. But I think the other comparison to be made too is not, in a gym versus mobile, but also throwing in starting with a standalone location, which we have seen people do as well. And the benefits that I see to that are there's more sort of perceived value. You're more reputable. There's more control over the environment. You can make it look the way you want, feel the music, the smell, the everything, like the way it's designed. All that is, you can decide what that is, which may be good if you have good taste, or maybe terrible if you have terrible taste, like, right? Because like that's a variable. Like we had to get a designer to help us build our space out because we wanted to look really good, and which is expensive. So, you know, when you start looking at the pros of this, like it definitely makes you look a lot more credible. You can charge more of a premium. You probably feel more confident in that space, and you control the environment really well. The negative is really upfront cost. Longer term leases, typically it's unlikely you're going to find a place that's going to be, you know, wanting to lease a commercial space to you for less than probably 2 years. Most cases it's going to be closer to 3 to 5. So you're, you know, committing to a long duration of time within that facility. Your build out costs are going to be expensive in comparison. You're going to have to get equipment. You're going to have to, you know, buy these things that you may not have access to at a gym, let's say, if you were there. You know, and a lot of it is about cash flow early on. They were very conservative about this. We've seen people go all in and go too big and end up in really bad positions. Like we were kind of talking earlier about, a client that we worked with, that this happened with him. And it was just tough to watch. Cause we're just like, dude, this overhead is going to crush you, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars a month. Huge space and expectation of like quickly filling it up, but like you don't have really the only time that I've seen this work really well is if you have a prior base of clients, you've been in the area for a long time, you have a great reputation, you know, a shitload of people, and you're totally fine with going all in on yourself. And it'd be kind of sketchy for a short period of time.
Yeah, like you can't take that back, right? Like you can't take, like, you know, even in a gym setting, right? It's like, or a mobile, it's like, ooh, this is not working. I need to like ramp things down. I need to go do this other thing. Like you're all in, you know, the ships have been burned, right? Because, you know, the people think sometimes, yeah, I'm going to throw this sign up. I'm going to get foot traffic. And it's just like, you're not a Chick-fil-A, right? Like somebody sees a sign for Chick-fil-A. They're like, ooh, I'm going to turn and go there, right? Like they see a sign for physical therapy. Very rarely is someone like, ooh, there's a sign for physical therapy or, you know, performance, wellness. I'm going to go in there and go check that place out. Like, it just, it honestly doesn't happen. If it does, it's extremely
rare. How many walk-ins would you say you've had to Made to Move? Just like, and you're in a very visible spot in the downtown sort of area in Dale Island where you're at. I mean, how often do you guys get walk-ins that are like, my back hurts? You guys help?
Yeah. I mean, if we do, honestly, it's people that already know us and it's like, we're in the downtown, right? But like conservatively one every other, like one quarter, something like that, right?
That's rare.
You know, it's very rare. And we've got a ton of brand awareness. Like basically this island is, we're everything to the eye, you know? So it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It's so rare.
Well, this brings up a good point too, is because when we have these conversations with people that are looking for space, it's just like, don't pay $50 a square foot to be, you know, on like the busiest road in town. Like it's not, you're not a restaurant. You're more of a destination. People, I mean, you don't want to necessarily be like difficult to find, but if you can find a happy medium there where you're not necessarily paying a ton for the visibility that you may not necessarily need, because these walk-ins are not likely to happen. Same thing with us. We get it maybe like every other month, somebody walks in. It always sort of surprises us, you know, because there's like, are you like trying to sell us something, ask for money, or are you lost? Like that's the kind of big things we get it, but there's like, no, want to learn more about what you guys do. It's fairly rare. So when you start looking at these facilities, you know, if you can find, I don't know, I would call it like, doesn't have to be A class, like, you know, where your high-end lawyers are going to have offices. It can definitely be a nice B-class facility that's like visible, that you can do a good job building out and not necessarily feel like you have to have this, you know, crazy, you know, nice facility. It's really more about the inside and it's more about your ability to be convenient to where other people are. Like that's sort of the biggest things that we see. But I do think that the trajectory, no matter where you start, tends to be this from what we've seen with the people that we've worked with. You either start mobile and then you move over to a standalone space, a small one of some sort, and then maybe grow into a bigger one. You start mobile, then you go to a gym, and then you transition to a standalone space. You start in a gym, then you transition to a standalone space. You start in a gym, and then maybe you get other gyms where you have offices within those, and you scale like a hub and spoke model where you have your central spot and then you have these other sort of offices around there. That's where we started. It's a bitch to manage. All these, you wouldn't think that like an extra sublease space, like another, a satellite office was that big of a deal, but it does require really tight systems and organization and communication on the patient side in particular, because the last thing you want is for them to show up at the wrong spot. And then like that's hard to come back from that. So managing that effectively, it gets kind of hard. So why we see a lot of people prefer the standalone location where they can have a few providers in house, you know, build this somewhere in the range of, you know, $500 to $1 million in gross revenue in a standalone space with, you know, a handful of providers or ancillary services within that, you know, and really have this, I guess like hub for the community. You know, we recently, one of our clients, her name's Brooke Miller. She's up in Dallas and she works with a lot of prenatal postpartum athletes, women athletes, and really helping with, you know, everything that goes around having a baby and doing it, coming back the right way and following the right programming. And she told me, she was like, you know, check her space out. It's Peak RX is the name of the practice, but she just built out her own standalone space. And awesome. I remember talking to her. It's amazing, right? It looks so good. Yeah. She's super, you know, detail oriented. She's got a great eye for like design. And she said, I want to build like a center for women, like a women's health, like, and wellness center. That's the goal, right? Like she does the PT side, but there's so much more that they want to have as part of the community. And you can be proud of that space. Her kids can go to that space. You know, my kids love going to our office. It's like something that's really cool to them. It's like a special little spot. It's great for, hosting local events and family and staff. It makes you look more legit to your parents that maybe told you not to do it. Now you got the standalone space, all that stuff, right? Comes along with a standalone space. There's more cost for sure. But I think overall people tend to go that direction. And I kind of prefer for them to take their time getting there. Like better for you to slow play it a little bit and do it the right way and have cash on hand. And I'm all for taking the right risks. But when we see people dump a couple hundred grand into a space they don't know is going to work. They have no proof of concept. It's just like kind of a risk that is not necessarily needed when you could just, let's just see if this works for a year. And if I get really good traction, cool, then let's expand and double down on ourselves, but at least prove it to yourself first.
Yeah. I mean, here's the bottom line. You're going to make mistakes, right? So like, first of all, second of all, you want to try to make the best decisions possible. And if you are, owe an investor $100,000, it's going to be much more difficult to make the right decisions, right? Like you're going to feel a lot more pressure. You're already going to feel pressure, even just in a gym model where it's kind of low overhead, right? And you're paying a couple hundred bucks in rent and you're trying to get new patients, right? We even there see a lot of anxiety stuff increase. So like burying yourself, and that's a little, dramatic, right? But essentially, right? And going all in and buying this amazing space and doing all this stuff, it sounds good in theory, but at the same time, it's like, holy crap, this has to work, right? Or I'm going to have to like declare bankruptcy. That's a different conversation than like, oh crap, I have to go back to I have to get a PRN job again, or I have to like start over and go back, and go do home health, whatever. Those are two different conversations.
Very different. And the thing is, here's the other thing to keep in mind. Now we start looking at the investor side. When people see a practitioner or really any business owner that's like super passionate about what they do, they're really trying hard. Like most people are fucking lazy. Okay. Let's be honest. Like most people barely do enough to get by. That's the vast majority of people that you're going to run into. When they see somebody that is like excited to wake up to see somebody at 6 o'clock in the morning and has a vision of what they're trying to move towards within their own company, oftentimes you're going to find people that are cash heavy, smart individuals that actually will try to invest in your company. I've had this happen about a dozen times with different clients that we have, venture capitalists, other practices. And the thing is, if you want money, you can find money, especially right now. Like it sounds like, okay, the economy, maybe it's up and down, whatever, but like the people that have money have more money than they've ever had. And the people that don't have money don't have very little money. There's a huge gap difference there. So people are always looking to park money in businesses because businesses are a very attractive investment where they can get a return investment. They can see it. They know the person that's running it. They like that. So if you decide that you want to go that route and you want to go big, you probably can find people to give you the money to do it, and there's pros to that, right? You're spending somebody else's money. You probably have to give up some of your company. Maybe you don't, maybe you just pay them a percentage of like hard money back where it's not going through a bank, but you get it faster with less things tying it up. So you can always do that. But one thing to keep in mind is if you have people approaching you to lend you money, that means you're on the right track. It means you're doing something right. Otherwise they wouldn't even like have that conversation with you or think about it. So, keep that in mind. And if you do go that route, just be aware of what they're looking for, right? Like how much say do they want to have in what you're doing, ownership, if any at all, or are they just looking to get a return on investment? Plenty of people are just looking for 8% on their money. Like, dude, if you can give me 8% back over the next 5 years, I'll give you X amount of money, go grow your company. Like, I hope it works out great. And if it doesn't, then they're out, they lose. You lose too, but at least you didn't lose all your own money.
Yeah, there's clear advantages to that side of things too, right? So like, figuring out, like you said, is it more of a passive entity? Is it a true like relationship or a partnership? Yeah. Ironing out all those details is super important. Say like you really, suck at the marketing aspect, and this person also owns like a marketing company and they can help you with some of their resources. Like that could potentially be a good fit. So, yeah. You're right. It's like whenever you start figuring it out, that's usually when people approach you, and then you kind of look back and be like, no, I'm going to just keep figuring it out. You know what I mean? Like 99% of the time. And it's the people that will take on some of the money. It's like, you're essentially going to have to figure it out with their money, which can have its advantages, right? As long as you can work well that way. That would personally not be my preference, right? Because I would take that more as a, that would create more anxiety for me as opposed to me figuring it out myself. But there might be other people like, this takes a risk off of me. Like, let's go. I think that's a big part of you kind of figuring out what kind of entrepreneur you are, what kind of person you are. And once you figure that out, you can, be a lot more successful.
I had I have a buddy that did this with a soccer training facility here in Atlanta. And he was just he's an interesting guy. So huge into soccer, soccer coach. He was managing a Moe's, like a burrito place, right? Like a Moe's restaurant, managing a Moe's and then coaching soccer. And he wanted to have, he's Brazilian. So he wanted to have this like training center for soccer, this like, you know, indoor, outdoor, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, he ends up just getting a bunch of investor money to do it. Like hard, basically none of his own money in the deal, but he did such a good job of like explaining the vision that he wanted and getting these avid soccer fans that he knew that, that had a lot of money and their kids were playing at the club league where he was coaching to basically pull their money together. And that's what they did. They ended up doing that. So with basically no money and a huge vision and the ability to sell it, he was able to raise enough money to go and do that. Right. So, and he's willing to take the risk on that. I agree with you. I don't like to take other people's money, without knowing for sure that it's going to be a good return on investment for them. But you know, if you have a big vision and you want to do something like that, you want to raise a bunch of capital to build a huge facility for whatever you're interested in, you could totally do it. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people don't really talk about this stuff, but like the creative side of go through the SBA, do your thing with that. Like it'll take you forever. It's very possible you get a government loan, a lot of stipulations on that. But man, if you're good at, if you have a good vision and you're good at telling, you know, a good storyteller and a salesperson, and you can market that and sell that vision to other people, you can raise capital for sure and skip the line in a lot of ways on, you know, as far as government funding goes. And then, yeah, get what you need and then, and go after it, assuming you know how to actually build it, right? Like that's the thing. It's like, well, what relevant skills do we have? And are you just going to learn on the way? And I mean, but plenty of people hand money over to other people with literally like hardly a business plan. You just have to go out and try to find it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, overall theme is right. If you're looking to go in a gym, you're looking to go mobile, right? Or you're looking to get a standalone space, possibly get an investor, you know, and I'd love if anybody watching, we got actually quite a few people watching, like let us know what kind of setting you're in. We're really curious. Like, of all three, or which setting you're excited to go in, is either gym, mobile, or standalone. But you got to figure out which one is honestly right for you, right? And that's what we're trying to do here, is give you all the pros and cons, you know, because there's not a one size fits all, you know, there's a one size fits all for you specifically based off your unique strengths, your unique goals. And as Danny said, your unique vision, right? And so what that vision is, and then, you know, you just got to figure it out and then attack it.
Well, Courtney Morse is on here. Shout out to Courtney for starting his cash practice in a hair salon, which is pretty rare. I don't think we've met anybody.
He took over one in a hair salon. Remember, it was like, wasn't it already somebody's or something? And then he started.
I think it was like his friends that was moving, and she had a couple clients, and he took it over in this essentially rental booth in a hair salon. And then ended up, you know, moving into a sublease spaces within a gym. But every time that we hear somebody like, oh, I can't find a space, I'm like, well, think about, like, I know a guy that did it in a hair salon. you gotta just make it work in some cases, right? So, you know, that's a great example of where you can do it. I mean, there's so many different places, anywhere you can basically see somebody. You know, you can probably make it work. We have people that work out of their garage, multiple people that have done that, right? Like my backup plan is if, everything goes south, I'm actually not going to work with people as a clinician. I'm just going to be a personal trainer out of my garage and charge the same amount and see them a lot more. I'll give up my license, whatever. And, I'll just be a personal trainer. I'll teach people how to swing some kettlebells around and whatever. And that's it. So that's what I would do. Worst case scenario. So anyway, but you can do it in a garage, you know, best case scenario for you. There's no overhead. It's your space. Like if you can control the environment, we have a great practice that we work with out of Kansas City that's done just that and has grown significantly out of their own house.
Yeah, we see a lot of stuff. The other thing we didn't touch on are some of these now, because hair salon reminded me, right? You've seen these places now. They're hair salons, and it's usually a bigger facility with a bunch of smaller businesses inside of it, which is really cool. I have no idea what you call that, but that's a thing, right?
Like a little co-op kind of deal where, that's like the place that in Denver where we were at, where they had the bottom floor. I forget the name of that place, but the bottom
Recovery Center or something like that. But they have
the other one, the one where Missy was moving to, where it was like an old school.
Yep.
the bottom was a gym, and then it was two floors of practitioners above it. And I think it was like 40 different practitioners of different disciplines and things. It was a lot. And it was a big like build out facility. You know, the timing was kind of rough with, I think it was supposed to open in April or something like that. And yeah. So eventually, I think it was took a little bit longer, obviously, but yeah, like these are popping up too, where you're seeing these sort of like wellness co-ops, where you can have, yeah, a bunch of providers in there. It can be very complimentary. It just depends on the demographic, like who's in there, the personality mix. And like that's, I think maybe the biggest challenge with that, but yeah, you can get sublease space within that. And, you know, people are looking for providers there.
Yeah. I mean, talk about like a proof of concept, or like the fact that like wellness is a thing. You're seeing these wellness, like I said, co-op is a great word to put it, right? Just like where all these different auxiliary services, acupuncture, you know, registered dietitian, life coaches kind of all can be in the same place, refer back to each other. Like I said, there is that personality thing, make sure it's a good personality fit. But like, these are typically all cash-based or some version of those practitioners who are all in that space. And like, obviously a PT can be a huge fit inside of that model. So if you go standalone space, that would kind of probably be in a standalone space, although like it's close to a gym, it's like probably a hybrid between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or big picture, buy your own big commercial space and subdivide it. And there you go. And you're good. I don't know the numbers on that, so don't hold me to that. I'm not in the commercial real estate game just yet. So maybe it's a good idea. Maybe it's a terrible idea. I don't know. I do know that a subleased office within a gym, you can have a great business with that, with minimal to no overhead. You gain a lot of time freedom, you know, with that. I don't really care what you do as long as you get started. You'll figure out what you want to do at that point. And I will say this too. We're incredibly abundance mindset. Like we try to really work on that and focus on that. But the longer that you wait, the harder it's going to be to find a really good fit within a gym facility, because we see it over. And I mean, I talked about this 5 years ago, where I honestly felt like it was going to be a lot harder to find, you know, space. There are going to be a lot of practitioners within facilities. We're starting to see this. Lifetime Fitness has their own in-house cash and in-network based like chiropractic groups. There's bigger hospital groups here that have started like performance. I guess it was like sub branches of their hospital that are only self-pay now. That was actually really interesting to see. Like,
really, I haven't heard of that.
Major hospital here did that, and they basically, yeah, it's like a performance sort of self-pay option that they have exclusively, and they're catching people with higher deductibles, stuff that we're seeing, right? They want like to focus more on performance stuff. So it's trending that direction. So you know, in 5 years from now, is it going to be harder to find subleased offices? Probably. You know, there's going to be more people that are doing that. There's plenty of people that we can work with, you know, 6-7 million people in Atlanta, like lots of people, but you know, these spaces that are really good fits and really good areas, I think you're going to have a harder time finding them the longer you wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's cool to see like a couple people commented. Brandon's out there checking out some gyms at the end of the week. Becky Emmett says, and I love this, like going in with the share a space with a massage therapist, right? That's a really, really good fit, right? You probably, you know, people already paying cash on a regular basis there, then we have some massage therapists that are great referral sources. So what kind of other practitioners do you have in there? Maybe you can share space with them to decrease some of your overhead. There's just so many options out there, right? I feel like that's what's coming from this conversation that I didn't even think would come in this conversation, is like, okay, options are somewhat limitless. Like go out there and get started just fine. You know, just get started. Doesn't need to be the perfect fit.
We didn't even talk about just like purely digital, right? So like we don't have time to get into that world, but since COVID, we see, you know, people that are 100% digital. Even within the Rainmaker program, we have people in there that are doing small group training classes on Zoom completely digitally, right? They're doing ongoing monthly programming, they're doing nutrition coaching, they're doing health coaching. Like this whole idea of continuity, like ongoing based services with the skill set that you have, it really just depends on what your interests are, what your skill set is. And then if you can sell something to solve a problem for other people, because if you can match those things up, you can basically build whatever it is that you really want. If you look at life coaching is a good example. Like I actually have a friend that's a life coach. She kills it. Like, she has multiple people that work for her. And I'm like, what does that even mean? You know, and, but she's actually a really interesting lady. She's got a lot of life experience. She has some sort of credential. I don't really know what it all entails, but, she's just like, you know, good listener. She's more like a psychologist, with some like relevant, you know, advice that she's giving people. But the people she works with love it, right? They rave about it. And so if you can develop these deeper relationships with people, you really help solve long-term health and wellness problems. You gain these really long-term clients that love, you know, working with you because you're helping them solve long-term problems and achieving the goals that they want. In many cases, we know aren't happening within a couple months. You know, these are long-term things. There's a lot of mental kind of side to it, physical side to it. Mixing the right things in can be huge. So maybe that's an avenue for some of you as well. It just depends on what you're interested in and what you want to do. The hardest part is just getting started in most cases.
Yeah. I mean, the formula is pretty simple, right? We did it in one of our first posts, right? So like, you're in a gym, you've got hopefully a bolus of people, you've got a couple of new patients in. You know, if you can convert those new patients, sell these kind of high ticket packages and get them on continuity programs, right? And increase the lifetime value of your clients, you can grow and scale very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, and we've seen it, right? We see it in the Rainmaker with people coming in, you know, just a couple thousand bucks a month kind of there. And then all of a sudden they can make this gigantic jump into 10. Cause I was putting together the kind of post for us when we go into continuity programs, which we'll do next month. And it was just like, when you look at that math, it continues to amaze me. It's like, man, that one little thing, these continuity programs, which we are the perfect fit for, most of us in the health and wellness space, like, can I help you with your workouts? Can I help you with sleep hygiene? Can I help you with nutrition? Can I help you as kind of a life coach, like just to get more out of your life? How much is that actually worth to people and keep them long-term? It's just game changer for so many practices.
I've definitely fit in those different roles. Everything you just said, I've done with people over time. Like, I had somebody that I've worked with for years, that this year was like a really weird year in terms of just like work, you know, what that person was going to do for work. And they were kind of let go from a job. It was a company that was overseas. So she actually had like a really interesting severance package where they gave her like 4 months of full pay for the severance package. So she had like 4 months sabbatical basically. But what was interesting is this is a type A, like high performer, you know, like a VP level person. Now they have all this time and they didn't know what to do with it. So that actually was like really hard for them. So going through like a little injury, not knowing what to do. And, you know, she'd come in one or two times a month. 80% of the time, all we did was talk, ironically, about what she was going to do for a living. You know, and I'm not like a career coach, but I just give a fuck, right? Like, I just would ask her questions. I was connecting her with people that I knew, you know, helping her just kind of like, sometimes people just want to talk through some of that stuff. And we were definitely working on some movement stuff occasionally, but for months, it literally, we would just talk. And she, you know, she saw a lot of value in that. And I kind of never thought that, but when I first started, I was like, oh, nobody's going to want to just do that, right? Like, got to stick some needles in you while we talk or something to that effect. But that's not actually the truth. The truth is like, they just want, oftentimes they want somebody that's going to listen to them. Somebody's going to give them some unbiased sort of a feedback, or maybe not feedback at all. Maybe just like, let them talk it out and let them figure out what they want to work on and air their frustrations to somebody that's not going to like, it's somewhat unbiased. So don't discount that either. I really do think if you think about the psychology, the mental health profession, therapists, the stickiest long-term service providers that we see. You start with a therapist, you're probably going to stick with them for a very, very long time, you know, and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 times a month sometimes, because I mean, there's layers to a lot of stuff that people end up working through. So think of yourself as not necessarily just solving a problem, but like, what else can you do to provide long-term value to that person to help them get into the mental, physical, overall, you know, health that they want? You know, and if you don't have those skills, then make sure you have the right people to refer out to, because it's important for them to know that, you know, you're also the gateway to them getting the right help as well.
Yeah. It's like, it's called the truly give a shit model, right? Like, there's just not many people that truly give a shit about other people. They come in
so true.
To a restaurant, they come into their doctor's office, very rarely is somebody like genuinely interested about helping them, right? So if you can do that, I still think it's the superpower of a cash-based practice, right? Like that person, it's going to be very difficult for them to leave, right? It's like, well, what's the one thing that you can do to get new patients and keep them? It's like, be authentic and truly give a shit. Like, you know, and that could be your one superpower. And I guarantee you people would just come in to see you in droves and they'll hang around for long periods.
Yeah.
It's not about the clinical skills or like your facility or like all these other things. Like those are great add-ons, right? But like to keep people long-term and to get some more word of mouth is just like spend some time with people, truly give a shit, you know, over deliver. And
that's spot on. That might be the best advice you've ever given. I think it's that simple. Just give a shit. And, you know, if you just consistently, and you're so right, like there's so few people that authentically, like when you're there with them, if they can tell if you're actually listening, if you're actually paying attention, if you actually are like wanting to see them get the outcome that they want. And this is where I think oftentimes we get jaded in our profession because we're inundated with so many people each day that you get mental burnout, you know, and it's just exhausting. But when you get a chance to take a step back and decrease the number of people that you're seeing and go deeper with less people, you really get a chance to flex that muscle, you know, where you can go above and beyond. You can treat people the way you would want them to treat you or your family. I think that's the greatest way of looking at it is what decision, what actions would you take if this person was your grandmother or your mom or your sister or whatever, or your brother? Like, what would you want someone else to do for them if they were in a different city? And do that for everybody that comes to your office, every single time they come through your office. And if you do that, then a lot of these other things are going to fall in place because you're going to have people that are, they're raving about you. You know, they are telling everybody that it's something so different that they've got to go check it out. And that's primarily how you and I really got going early on before we understood anything else that we were doing right and were able to replicate it and teach other people. So yeah, dude, if you just care and you repetitively, if you do the right thing every single time and you do what you say you're going to do every single time, it's pretty rare. It's also very hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, we can't compete in any other fashion, right? That's the other thing I always kind of tell people. It's like, you can't have the biggest marketing budget. You're not going to have the nicest space. You're not going to, you know, but like, can you truly give a shit every time somebody walks in? Like, that's probably the rarest thing to do and will have probably the most ROI, right? Like, but at the same time, kind of like you said, hard to fake, right? You can probably think of almost every interaction you've had as a human being with another human being. And you can tell if that person is genuinely interested or if that person's just looking to get something or they're lost in thought somewhere else or they're thinking what they're trying to say next, right? And so...
So true. Yeah. It's so true. I mean, it comes down to nonverbal language. Like nonverbal. I play this game with my kids mainly because I want them to have incredibly high emotional intelligence. They don't know what I'm doing, but I play this game with them where we'll say like a phrase, I'm home. Something super simple, right? We're like, okay, say that in as many different tones as you possibly can. And we'll see if we can guess what you really mean by that. Right. So we'll be like, I'm home. You know, it's like, oh, it's a question. You're unsure, right? Or like say it like angry or you know, there's all these different ways we have them do that. And they just crack up. They laugh about it or whatever. But like just something as simple as that, you could take two words that can be construed 9 different ways. Same words. Words aren't shit without tone and body language because it gives meaning to those words, right? So you can tell if somebody is actively listening to you, engaging with you or not, right? And if they're not, it's very apparent. If they are, it's pretty rare because most people are literally just like constantly thinking about something else, on to the next thing, thinking about the thing they have to do. And it's all about them. It has nothing to do with the person that has stepped into their business. So if you can do that, it changes a lot of things for people, you know, especially locally. So Eric asked, is this going to be posted somewhere to be able to watch later? 100%, dude. It'll be in the PT Entrepreneurs group. You can look under, I believe it's media. Is that what it's under? All the live trainings that we've done?
Yeah. You should be able to, you know, we can probably just have Kyle reach out and just make sure that you get tagged on it. But Yeah, you can find it. It'll be pinned in the announcements all week, this week as well. So we'll make sure you get it. Just you can always send me or Danny a direct message if for some reason you don't have it and you need it. Well, probably more so me, send me a direct message. We'll make sure that you get it.
I stay off Facebook. You guys get me on Facebook, and this is something that I don't really do very much. It's funny. I guess if people are like, hey, you didn't respond to my, they'll get on Instagram, like, you didn't respond to my Facebook message. Like, I don't respond to anybody's Facebook message because I don't get on Facebook unless we're doing this, you know, or something to that effect. It'll be here. It'll be in the media. Actually, all of the video trainings that we've done in here, they're all housed within that same portion of the group. So if you go to media, you can see images, videos, all that is within there. So you can go back and watch all the ones that we've done. I would totally recommend starting with the first one. Even I did, what was it, like 2-3 months ago at this point?
Yeah. And we have those, like, we have the first three videos we did, which we really think everybody should watch, especially if you're new to the group. You go to the unit section, the learning unit section, and it'll be in there. So, if you're just starting out, just saw this, go check that out. And,
here's what I'm gonna do. Check this out. I'm gonna show this to you because now I'm getting slick with technology.
Oh, don't get too techy. Stop.
Okay, so if you go in here, right here, if you go to units, so units is actually, we have the three trainings we think people need to start with are actually right there. So if you go to units, you can watch all of that. If you go in here to media videos, we'll actually have all of the old live streams that we've done. Okay, so all of those are in there. Some other live ones that we did a while back. So units, if you want to watch the first three that we did, so you can get a better idea of where you need to start for most people. If you want to watch all the other ones, go to media, and then you can go to videos. So yeah, there you go.
Thanks for that. Good job.
Yeah. Look at that. all right, cool. Hey, thanks for watching live. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to be talking about the continuity visits.
You know what? I just put that stuff together. What are we talking
about? Oh, no, it's workshops.
Yes. Yeah. Workshops for sure.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited right now. That's our jam. We have taught so many workshops. Workshops are great. I'm excited to dive into that. So if you guys want to learn more about workshops, we'll be talking about those in depth. You can ask us questions live while we're doing it. So 1:30 Eastern next week, next Monday. So that's it. Anything to finish with, Eve?
No. I mean, I love that we went, as per the usual, we started with a theme and somehow ended up with communication skills kind of towards the end, right? And
everything's communication skills. Yeah, everything should end there.
And here's the bottom line, right? In this group now, we have a ton of resources for you guys, right? So, comment. What do you want them to comment? Comment gym, mobile, or standalone. If you have any questions about one of those things, our team members will reach out to you. If you want to jump on a call and talk about the pros and cons of one of our team members, they will absolutely do that with you. Absolutely no commitment to buy anything. We just want to give free resources out there and show you the right path so you can be successful.
Yeah.
Right? So,
literally, if you just type in gym, Kyle, who's going to respond to you, he literally can't even sell you anything. So like, you can't buy anything from Kyle. It's we don't care. We just want to be able to have you talk to a human being that's going to be able to guide you to the right resource, the right training at the right time. Because some of you guys, it's not appropriate for you to do anything on your, working on your business. For other people, it is. So it's up to Kyle to really decide, all right, what's that next logical step? Some of you, maybe it is talking to somebody and doing a deep dive strategy session. For other people, maybe it's a resource that you don't even know exists or a training where we can point you in the right direction. And our goal is to just help you kind of get to the right place. Because look, we know, like, not selfishly, we want to see a small army of cash clinics just really be able to grow to where we're adding $1 billion in cash services per year. That's our goal. And we need a lot of people to be able to do that. Selfishly, we're really good at helping businesses grow. And if you get to the point where we can help you, we would like to do that. And we can, really help you grow to where you're able to add additional providers on and grow to a standalone location, whatever your goal is. Just depends on where you're at with that. But the first step is really, if you want to chat with somebody, type in Jim, Kyle will reach out to you, and we can figure out what the best next step is for you from there. And then other than that, tune in every, Monday at 1:30, and we'll continue to kind of dive into this stuff as much as we can and share as much as we can with you to hopefully be as helpful as possible.
Thanks, y'all.
That's it. See ya. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT entrepreneur. And we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.